Welcome everyone to today's Give Me 5 130, a webinar training on how to self-certify for participation in the SBA's Women-Owned Small Business Federal Contract Program. My name is Michael Fravel, Program and Education Coordinator for Women Impacting Public Policy, and we're joined today by Angela Dingle, President of Ex Nihilo Management, who I will introduce shortly to begin the session. At first, I do have a few brief housekeeping notes for today's webinar. We are recording this presentation and we'll be sending out a podcast of this call to all attendees. WIP is a national nonpartisan public organization, if anybody is unfamiliar with us, advocating on behalf of nearly 1 million women-owned businesses and representing 67 business organizations. WIP provides timely economic policy information and identifies important trends and opportunities to its membership. The Give Me 5 program is a national program from WIP and American Express Open designed to educate women business owners on how to apply for and secure federal procurement opportunities with the goal of increasing the representation of women business owners that win government contracts. We provide accessible business education tools like this webinar to assist both new and experienced federal contractors in growing their business. So with those few introductory slides out of the way, on to today's webinar. I am pleased to introduce today's course instructor, Angela Dinkle. Angela is founder, president, and CEO of Ex Nihilo, a management business consulting firm that specializes in strategic assessment and information technology management. Founded in 2002, Ex Nihilo delivers comprehensive services designed to provide customers with the visibility and control needed to make critical decisions in a dynamic business environment. Angela is a certified management consultant with over 20 years of experience in business leadership, software engineering, and quality assurance. Angela is also a member of WIP's Board of Directors, the Institute of Management Consultant USA Board of Directors, and the Executive Advisory Board for Enterprising Women Magazine. We are thrilled to have Angela here back to share her experience with Give Me 5 again. So, Angela, I'll turn this over to you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for the participants that have dialed in. We have just about half of the folks that were originally scheduled to dial in. I'm just going to get going here because we've only got an hour, and I do want to leave some opportunity for folks to ask questions should they have any later on. So today, during this program, we're going to be discussing how to determine your eligibility for the Women-Owned Small Business Program, also how to go into the system for accountability management to update your profile, how you can submit your documents to the SBA's Women-Owned Small Business Program repository, and then an update on a third-party certification. Those have changed over the course of time since the program went into effect last year. So the Women-Owned Small Business Program is a federal contract program. It went into effect February 4th of 2011. It provides equal access to federal contracting opportunities for women-owned small businesses and those businesses that are defined as economically disadvantaged women-owned businesses. The unique thing about this program is that it's designated for only 83 NAICS code categories out of the hundreds of NAICS codes that are available. The SBA and the federal government contracted with the RAND Corporation to do a study to find out which NAICS codes where women-owned businesses were underrepresented, and it is for those 83 NAICS codes that this program has been created. If you are not familiar with those NAICS codes and would like to know what they are, either WIP can provide you with a listing of the NAICS codes, or you can visit the SBA's Women-Owned Small Business Program website, which is sba.gov/WOSB for Women-Owned Small Business, and there's a listing of those NAICS codes as well as some other information that I'll tell you about as we go through the program. So this federal contracting program allows contracting officers to set aside specific opportunities for certified women-owned small businesses and economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses. And I'll discuss the definitions of those two certification types as we go through the program. The key is understanding that this is a set-aside program and not a sole-source award program. So as Michael mentioned, if you have questions, please do enter those in the discussion box that appears on your screen, and I'll try to answer those as we go along. And I'll try to leave some time at the end of the presentation so I can answer any questions that you may have. So participation in this federal contracting program is relatively easy. I've defined it in three easy steps. It will take a little bit more effort on your part, but generically, you need to determine your eligibility, and I'll talk about how you can do that and direct you to some resources where you can find out that. You need to either register in if you have not already done so, or update your profile in the System for Award Management, which is the replacement for the CCR, the Central Contractor Registry Database. And then there's a set of documentation that each woman-owned small business needs to upload to FEA's Woman-Owned Small Business Program Repository. I'll go through a list of what those documents are as we move forward through the presentation and answer any questions that you may have about specifics. So from an FEA standpoint, a woman-owned small business is defined as one that's both a small business and one that is not less than 51% unconditionally and directly owned and controlled by one or more women who are United States citizens. So let's talk a little bit about that. If you're familiar with federal contracting, a small business size determination is determined based on the NAICS codes that are associated with your firm. So when you established a firm, you also identified a primary NAICS code when you requested a tax identification number from the Internal Revenue Service, and that will dictate your primary NAICS code. There can also be multiple NAICS codes associated with your firm. My firm has about six. There are other firms that have many more that are associated with them. The key in determining your eligibility for this program is that your business is defined as small within the NAICS code that's applicable for whatever it is that you're going to submit a bid for. And then a woman-owned small business that is 51% unconditionally and directly owned and controlled means several things, and we'll talk about that as we move forward. Just in a generic way of describing that, that means that the woman needs to hold the highest position within the firm. So if you have partners, if you are, if you have either male partners or even other female partners, the woman on whose information the small business determination will be made has to hold the highest position within the firm. Okay, so the ownership has to be direct, meaning that it can't be something that is established through a trust, or it can't be where there is a male or another owner who has higher authority than her, and they kind of grant the ability for her to make decisions on a case-by-case basis. There cannot be any conditions associated with that ownership. So, for instance, part of the documentation that you have to upload into the repository includes, like, your stock certificates, your ownership records within the firm. And if the SBA was able to look at that and determine, well, she may have the highest ranking position on paper, but when you look at the ownership within the firm in terms of stock ownership or decision-making authority, you can see that the woman does not have control. That would be an impact on whether or not it's unconditionally and directly controlled. So the woman must manage the business on a day-to-day basis. So in the past, I know there had been some discussion about firms whereby perhaps a couple, a husband and a wife, went into business together, where the husband may have had the expertise in the area that they've decided to start the firm, and the woman is just there as a figurehead. Part of the reason that the SBA is asking women to upload this documentation is so that they can read through and make that determination as to whether or not the woman is really managing the day-to-day operations of the business. In the same manner, if a woman has a full-time position doing something other than what the firm has been designed to be, then that's an indication that perhaps she may not be managing the day-to-day operations of the business. Kathy, I see a question from you about what's causing the clicking. I don't hear clicking on my end. Michael, if you hear that, if you can check on that for Kathy, that would be good. So the woman must have the ability to make any of the long-term decisions within the firm. And, again, the SBA will be looking at things like the operating agreement of the firm, any contract, standard contract terms and conditions to make sure that as the highest ranking official within the firm, that she has both the authority and the legal ability to make long-term decisions on behalf of the firm. And so she's going to have to provide documentation demonstrating that she meets all of these different requirements. A business that is economically disadvantaged means that the woman has to meet certain thresholds with respect to her net worth and her income. And so for any of you that are participants in the 8A Business Development Program, these requirements will seem familiar to you because it's the same type of concept. The dollar figures may be different, but they use the same type of formula to determine them. So a woman's personal net worth has to be less than $750,000. Her three-year average annual gross income cannot exceed $350,000. And then the fair market value of all of her assets cannot exceed $6 million. So when determining personal net worth, the SBA does not take into consideration your ownership within the firm, and they also don't take into consideration the equity that you have in your primary residence. However, when they're looking at the fair market value of all of your assets, those things may be taken into consideration. And if a woman who's applying for self-certification within this program is married, her husband will be required to submit, there's a form, and we'll talk about that form later on. The husband will be required to submit paperwork to determine his financial input with respect to the fair market of all of her assets. So I see a question from Sue Karen that says, if you're married, does it look at both the husband and yourself? Yes. If you're married and you're applying to be economically disadvantaged, the SBA will require your spouse to submit a Form 413, and we'll talk about that form as we move forward. So here, before I move forward to discussing the SAM updates, are there any other questions about eligibility for the program? One of the things that you can do is go and visit the SBA website. There's a whole section of the website that's dedicated to the Woman-Owned Small Business Program. I strongly encourage you to read the compliance guide. It will answer a lot of the questions that you may have with respect to, you know, if I own a certain percentage of stock, but I have some stock that's not been executed, do I still have 51% ownership within the firm? A lot of those questions are there, as well as a guide for contracting officers, because this is a relatively new program for them as well, so you want to be educated on what responsibilities they have and who can see the information within your profile. I see another question about the difference between self-certification and using the U.S. Chamber or another women's organization for the certification process. The difference between the two processes is that if you choose to self-certify, there is no cost associated with that. The information that's required for upload into the repository is information that you generally should have available as a business owner anyway. They're going to ask for things like your passport, things like your business license, your operating agreement, your stock certificates. So those are items that you have readily available to you within your business, and there are no costs associated with uploading them into the repository. If you choose to go with a third-party certifier, and we'll talk on the last slide, I'll go over these four certifiers that are approved by the SBA. If you choose to use them, there may be a cost associated with that. And so it's just a matter of preference for you. Once you receive a third-party certification, you simply need to upload that certification along with any documentation associated with being an economically disadvantaged woman-owned small business. So perhaps a cost associated with third-party certification and less documentation to upload, or no cost associated with self-certification and a few more documents that you need to upload into the repository. All right. So the System for Award Management is a replacement for what used to be CCR, the Central Contractor Registry, and ORCA, the Online Representations and Certifications. So last year, the federal government combined those systems. I don't know if you guys are happy. I'm tickled pink. I like the fact that I can log into one system and maintain all of that information instead of having to wait for the updates throughout the remainder of them. So in the same manner that the Federal Acquisition Regulation, or the FAR, requires you to have an active registration in the CCR system, you are also required to have an active registration in SAM. Elaine, I see your question, and I'll address that in just a few minutes. So for subpart 19.15, requires an active registration in SAM, and requires that you upload your documentation into the Lemon-Owned Small Business Program Repository. The FAR cost is at the time of contract award. In reality, I would encourage you to have that documentation uploaded by the time that you go to submit an offer, because if there are any problems with the documentation that you upload and you're granted the award, what will happen with the contracting officer is if they go in and look in the repository and all of your documentation is not there to satisfy the requirements for a woman-owned small business, then they will award to the next available awardee that qualifies. And so you want to have this information in there prior to the point where you do a submission. So Elaine has a question about how private the repository is. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. It is a lot of confidential information that's being uploaded, and I will specifically address who can actually look at that information. And then I'm looking at a question about 8As that are in the repository, and I'll talk about that a little bit more as well. So an active registration in the SAM system is very similar to what an active registration meant from a CCR perspective. So there are still some mandatory fields. All of those mandatory fields have to be entered into the system and entered correctly. You have to have a CAGE code that's assigned and validated by the Department of Defense. WIP offers other courses. As a matter of fact, I will be offering a course on updating your profile within the SAM system at a later date. If you are not familiar with this system, need some information on that, look on the website for Give Me Five at the available courses that WIP has, or you can work directly with one of the resources there, and we can provide you with some instruction there. And then they'll also do a taxpayer identification number verification, which is the same verification that they were doing under the CCR system. So a slightly different interface, but the same type of information that's required in all of the systems. So the SAM system, although it's new, is still going to have some data that comes from Dun & Bradstreet and from the Small Business Administration that you will not be able to change within the SAM system. So you would have to coordinate with those individual entities in order to have it corrected. But the same concept with respect to what's required and not required. In the same manner that as you progressed through the CCR system, you had to click save and continue or save and update, the SAM system is the same way. You have to click save and continue at the bottom of each of the registration pages to activate the updates that you're putting in. And then I'll show you some screens later on where you'll see that there are some stopping points in there where they'll say, do you want to go to the next section of the updates? So you still have the same legal requirements. Your SAM profile has to be updated every 12 months, so you've got an annual requirement to go in and update your annual sales to make sure that your financial banking information is correct, your electronic points of contact, as well as your tax information is correct in the SAM system. So if you look, and I know this screen is a little interesting, but if you look on the left-hand side, the SAM system has a navigation bar that appears on the left-hand side. And the changes that you'll need to make in order to prepare for the Woman-Owned Small Business Program are going to be a part of what's called core registration. So each time that you log into the SAM system, if you haven't already done so, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, do you want to update the purpose of your registration? When you log into the CCR system previously, you had to essentially go through all of the questions and answer everything, whether it applied to you or not. What they've done with the SAM system is they have streamlined the data that will be presented to you or the questions that are presented to you based on the purpose of your registration. So if you are registering to do business with the federal government, to do federal contracts, then the questions that are presented to you are slightly different up here for someone who wants to do grants. So if you have already completed your registration and you don't want to change that purpose, when you're presented with that question, you'll want to say no and move forward to just updating your core data. So I see a question from S. Myers. If you're a sole proprietor, does that answer the question about control of the business? If you are a sole proprietor, that is a woman-owned if you're a female sole proprietor, yes, that does answer the question. You still have to upload information into the repository, but it does eliminate any confusion about whether or not there are any questions about ownership and control. I want to make sure I've not forgotten the last two questions. Let me just go back. Okay. So the data that you're going to change with respect to the woman-owned small business is going to be a part of core data. And if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see a link for that. With respect to what's required for an active record within SAM, these five categories that appear on the right are what have to be validated. So the purpose of your registration, your core data, and the core data is a whole lot of what used to be in CCR. Your assertions, which have to do with some of the changes that were made in the FAR just before CCR changed over about executive compensation and whether or not you've been reporting that information. Your reps and certs are still going to be the same, except the process for validating them is slightly different. I actually tend to like it better, but that's going to be your preference. And then your points of contact. So you've always been required to have an electronic point of contact, an accounts payable, accounts receivable point of contact, past performance reference, and some other things, and those still remain the same in the SAM system. So the area where you're going to enter the woman-owned small business information is part of the category called general information. General information is part of the category of core data. You're going to indicate the type of business that you are, like a for-profit LLC or a nonprofit university, for instance, and any applicable socioeconomic categories. And that might be Native American, it might be African American minority, it might be woman-owned, minority woman-owned, economically disadvantaged woman-owned. So in the same way that you had categories that you need to select within the CCR system, you're still going to have to select those categories within the SAM system. So, again, you have view-only data that's being populated from other sources. So within the federal systems, you cannot change your address. So just like you couldn't change your address in CCR, you can't change your address in SAM by typing the information in. What you need to do is contact Dun & Bradstreet. You have Dun & Bradstreet change your address within their system. They will feed that information back into the SAM system, and then there is a button that's available now, which makes it a lot easier, that allows you to refresh the data that comes over from Dun & Bradstreet. For those businesses that are certified as 8A and or 8A SDV, that data also is view-only within the system. So if you were in the 8A system prior to converting over to the SAM database, that should appear on the screen. If it's not, of course, you need to contact the SBA in order for them to update your SAM record. But with respect to the woman-owned small business program, that actually makes it a lot easier for you with respect to what documentation that you have to upload into the system. So I see a question from the Procurement Assistance Center, and it says, does SAM data now flow into the SBA's dynamic small business, into the SBA's small business dynamic search database? You still have to update your information in the SBA dynamic search database in the same way that you did before. So what this is, what's combined the contracting system into one. So it took data that used to be in the excluded parties list in the CCR system, in the ORCA system, and consolidated it into one. There's still an option that says, do you want to update your SBA Dynamic Business Search database? I have not followed the SAM updates. That may be one of the systems that they're going to incorporate into it, and I can do that research for you and provide you with an update if that would be helpful. Otherwise, you probably just want to check the updates that appear on the first page of the SAM database to see whether or not that's going to be changed. Again, if you have an SBA certification, that's going to be added automatically to your SAM record. You won't have to enter that information yourself. So this is just one of the screens that will appear within the general information section. And again, general information is part of the core data. As you answer the questions about the organization of your business, the type of business that you have and any of the socioeconomic categories that are appropriate with you. So, for instance, on this screen sample, you'd want to click Women-Owned Small Business and click Add at the bottom on the left-hand side, and it would move those values over to the right-hand side that shows your entity's socioeconomic categories. So there are going to be two that you need to select for the Women-Owned Small Business program at a minimum. So you'll select Women-Owned Small Business, you'll select Women-Owned Business and Women-Owned Small Business. Now, if you are a part of a Women-Owned Joint Venture or a economically disadvantaged Women-Owned Small Business Joint Venture, you'll want to select those codes as well and have them appear on the right-hand side of the screen. And then you can see on the lower right-hand screen where you can save and continue. And that button will appear on each of the screens as you go through the SAM system, so you want to make sure that you save and continue as you move forward. Okay? So in the same way you check the box in the CCR system, you need to check the box in the SAM system, both for Women-Owned Small Business as well as Economically Disadvantaged Women-Owned Small Business. So in what you used to have to do, CCR system, and enter all of the information associated with your firm and then wait for 24 to 48 hours and then go into the ORCA system, which was the online reps and certs, to update the information associated with your representations and certifications regarding your firm. That's all been incorporated into the SAM system, and so now that section appears as FAR responses. So based on the selections that you made earlier as you were going through the SAM registration or update process, this information has been determined for you. And so it's more a matter of reviewing that data as opposed to having to enter it all from scratch every time. So what will happen is that, and again, this screen image may be a little vague for you, but it'll say our records indicate that your firm meets these particular requirements. So as if you are already a member of the 8A program, when you get to the section of the FAR responses, it'll say our records indicate that you're a woman-owned small business or you're an economically disadvantaged, socially disadvantaged woman-owned business. And so you just need to confirm those responses from a FAR perspective and or answer any applicable questions that may apply to your business. For those that they are able to determine don't apply to your business, it will simply say not applicable and you won't be able to make a selection. So most of them are pull downs, and you just simply walk through those, and those are what used to be FAR responses that went into either your FAR or your DFAR certification. Okay, so the Women-Owned Small Business Program Repository is a separate document repository that's maintained by the SBA. And actually, before I go too far into that, are there any additional questions about the SAM system before I move further into the repository? Nope. I hope I've answered all the questions we had before. So it is a separate database, a separate repository that's maintained by the SBA. So it's going to hold the supporting documentation for women-owned small businesses and economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses. So even if you've got a third-party certification, the data from that third-party certification would also appear and would also need to be uploaded into this repository. It is a secure web-based environment. It's only accessible by women-owned small businesses, economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses, the SBA, and the contracting officer community. And within the contracting officer community, it's only accessible to the ones that you give access to. So once you've uploaded your documentation into the repository, no one besides the individuals within your firm and or folks that are evaluating your eligibility within the SBA can see it. At the point where you submit an offer for a bid, you will provide access to a specific contracting officer to see those documents prior to contract award. Outside of that, no one else has access to the repository. So it is a secure web-based environment. Once you upload documents into the repository, they cannot be deleted. For obvious reasons, they do want to be able to validate that the information that people have submitted is correct. So you don't want to see someone submit documentation saying that that a male owns a significant percentage of the firm, and then tomorrow change those documents so that it shows that the woman owns a significant percentage of the firm. Those things might trigger a more detailed investigation of the eligibility of that woman-owned small business. So there are a few things that you need to upload into the repository. And just for clarification, the self-certification that we're discussing today is slightly different than most of the other SBA certification programs. So if you've applied for a HubZone certification or if you've applied for an 8A certification in the past, you know, you submit some documentation to the SBA and then you get some form of response back. With the Woman-Owned Small Business program, you don't get a response back unless there's a problem. So there is no approval or eligibility or certification letter that comes back from the SBA. You are essentially self-certifying, and that certification will be validated at the point where you make a contract award, or if you've started the process and you kind of don't finish it, the SBA will notify you, hey, you put some of the documentation in, but you didn't put the rest of it in, and so we're wondering what's happened to the rest of it, right? So the things that you'll need to update into the upload into the repository are proof of U.S. citizenship, and so that's going to take the form of, you know, an unexpired passport, a birth certificate, or something like that. Your articles of incorporation or articles of organization, depending on what type of firm you own, as well as any amendments to either of those documents. You'll need to upload your operating agreement, your bylaws, stock certificates, stock ledger, and voting agreement, again, depending on which type of firm that you have, your partnership agreement and any amendments, the Woman-Owned Small Business Program certification. That's a document that has a whole bunch of questions that can be a tad bit confusing, but it's in the back of the Woman-Owned Small Business Compliance Guide. And so you can get that by going to the SBA website. It asks you a couple of questions. Well, it asks you several pages of questions to determine whether or not you have unconditional direct and ownership and control of the firm. And then you would need to sign that and upload it. And only for firms that are applying to be considered as economically disadvantaged woman-owned small businesses do you have to fill out an SBA form 413. So if you are currently a member of the 8A program, this is a form that you fill out every year, so you don't need to complete an additional form. Essentially, if you are already considered a socially disadvantaged firm from an SBA standpoint, you're essentially like grandfathered in as an economically disadvantaged woman-owned small business. So they will make sure that the SAM system reflects the fact that you are part of the SDB program. And then since the system that you're using to do your SBA update and the system that you're using to do the Woman-Owned Small Business Program is the same, you don't need to resubmit that form. So, again, if you have, if you are currently in a HubZone firm or an 8A firm, you will be familiar with the GLS, which is the General Login System. If you are not a member of either of those programs, what you would need to do is come to this general login system, and we can provide you with the URL for that. You would come to the system, and you need to request a login if you don't already have one. And so you can do that by clicking on the link that says request the SBA user ID. For those of you that already have an SBA certification, you would just use your regular login to the GLS system that you use to do your annual recertification to log into this system. Once you've logged in, you need to request access specifically to the Woman-Owned Small Business Program Director, Program Repository. So if you are a HubZone or if you are an 8A firm, the screen will look familiar to you. you generally have options that are available to you. The Women on Small Business Program Repository would be an additional option. You want to select that as a system that you'd like to request access to and submit that request. The woman-owned small business application would, once you've submitted that request, there's a link for the woman-owned small business program repository. It'll show up as one of the currently available applications to you. Once you click that link, then you will see a screen that I don't see right now that should show you a link where you can upload documents. So the documents that you're going to upload, you want to, preferably you want to upload them as PDF documents. There are some size limitations on this repository. You can see that the individual files are limited to 10 megabytes. So as much as possible, you want to make sure that you either compress the files or upload them as zip files. So each of the documents that you add here, when you click on the document type link, it's going to be a pull down of the documents that are required. So when you're uploading your passport or your proof of U.S. citizenship, when you click on the document type, one of the pull down options in that list will be passport or some form of certification with respect to your citizenship. The same type of thing will be available for you with respect to your articles of organization or your stock certificates or ledgers. Again, once you've uploaded a document into the repository, the document cannot be deleted. So make sure that you have checked them prior to the upload. So you can see the options there. Again, for the firms that already have an 8A certification, then all you need to do is upload your certification letter. You don't have to upload the remaining documents associated with your financial status. I see a question from Kisper Construction. If you have all of the grandfather documents, do you need to upload them again? I just did my annual update report to the SBA. So for the Women-Owned Small Business Repository, you want to upload a copy of your 8A certification letter, as well as the document that you want to upload.
Hello, Angela?
Yes?
Hi, we just had you cut out just a little bit. Maybe you can just repeat what you were just saying.
Okay, I was answering a question regarding from a question from Pittsburgh Construction. It says, if you have all of the grandfather documents, do you need to upload them again? I just did my annual update report to the SBA. So for the so there are some documents that you will have in your repository from an SBA standpoint and some that you won't. For instance, you're not required to submit your passport as part of the SBA program, so you'll want to submit your passport. As you can see on the screen here, you'll want to submit your 8A certification, and that will eliminate the need for you to upload the documentation associated with being an economically disadvantaged woman-owned business, because the SBA will accept your certification as long as you're designated as both 8A and socially disadvantaged business. And hopefully that answered your question. Okay. So once you've uploaded all of the files, you'll get a screen that shows you essentially a summary of all of what you've uploaded. So you'll see from this example for Opti Manufacturing Corporation, they've uploaded 19 files that were valid. There were 4 files that had an incorrect file type, so they may have tried to upload, for instance, a PowerPoint slide as opposed to a Word document, for instance. And then one of the files was corrupted. And so that's the summary screen that you'll see. And that's essentially all that you're going to get with respect to this self-certification process. You will not get a separate certification letter like you do with the 8A or the HubZone program. There are several organizations that provide third-party certification. There are four that are currently approved by the SBA, the El Paso Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the National Women's Business Owners Corporation, the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce, and WeBank. For WeBank, they are only doing certifications for women-owned small businesses and not for economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses. So you can contact those organizations. Again, there may be a cost associated with the third-party certification as opposed to no cost associated with the self-certification. So just in terms of review, I'm going to try and wrap up so we can have some time left for questions. You have to meet the eligibility requirements in order to be considered a woman-owned small business. You have to be registered in SAM in the same way that you need to be registered in the Central Contractor Registry. And then you have to upload some supporting documentation into the Woman-Owned Small Business Program Repository. So I will stop now and take questions.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Angela, for the presentation. And if anybody has any questions, you can enter them now into the chat box. I want to apologize for the intermittent clicking that's been going on in the background. It seems to be a result of our connection today, but I hope that it hasn't been too distracting from the content. And Angela hasn't answered most of the questions that have come up along the way, but we do have a couple minutes left. I do see one question that came up from Martha Elena. Where could we find support in our area?
Are you talking about technical support or? Oh, I do see that question from Martha.
We'll get her. Oh, go ahead.
All right, so a couple of things. You can also always contact the folks at WIF because WIF is very actively involved in this program with the SBA. There is a compliance guide that's available at the SBA site. And there is also a telephone number where you can call and get assistance from the Small Business Administration if you're having any problems with the GLS system or any problems understanding what the eligibility requirements are. And hopefully that answers your question. So I see another question on this: what type of file you recommend the documents to be uploaded and saved in? I save my documents as PDFs and uploaded them. And so that's probably the cleanest way because they're going to compress them down anyway. J.C. White is asking if he or she can have a copy of the presentation. Michael, is that possible?
Absolutely. For anybody who's on the call today, we're going to be sending out a copy of this podcast and presentation as soon as it's processed, so you will receive that.
I see another question from Pittsburgh Construction. Where do I find support? I'm in Atlanta. I don't know where the SBA offices are throughout the country. You can try the SBA site. I'm available to answer any questions that you might have. I am a woman in small business, so I am registered in both of the repositories. I've been through a lot of changes in the SAM system as well as I was one of the first folks to get registered in the Women-Owned Small Business Repository. So my contact information appears on the screen. Feel free to reach out to me, and I'll try to answer any questions that I can or direct you to resources that might be available to you. I see another question about support from Houston, Texas. There is no cost associated with self-certification or RV in Houston. There is also no cost associated with contacting the SBA and or myself. WIP offers a number of courses that are available through the Give Me 5 program, and there are no costs associated with that either. And then you can, if you choose to go with one of the third-party certifiers, I am not familiar with their individual costs. I suspect that there are probably some costs associated with certification through a third-party entity, though. I see a question from Courtney. How much time do you think a person doing this on their own should put aside to accomplish it? If you read through the compliance guide, which, again, is available through the SBA's website, and you have the documentation available in soft copy, it literally takes only a few minutes once you have acquired an SBA login. So, again, if you've done anything with the SBA before, that GLS system is one that they use to manage your other certifications. If you have not, just the time associated with requesting the ID, getting that, and then being able to upload the documents. So, a lot of us small business owners, we apply for small business certifications in a variety of different cities. I generally keep those documents available in soft copy to me, so it took me maybe 20 minutes to upload them into the repository. And when I did it the first time, I actually did not submit them all at the same time, so I did get an email back from the SBA saying, hey, you forgot this document, can we upload it? And then I went in and did that upload. There is a, if your SAM profile is not currently updated to reflect the Women-Owned Small Business Program, there is anywhere from a 24 to 48 hour time period for the update to be validated and your record to become active again within the SAM system. So you still have that time commitment on your part. I see another question from the Procurement Assistance Center. The Small Business Development Centers are also a resource for assistance. There are 50 Small Business Development Centers in all 50 states. So there you go. There's some additional support for you. I see a question from Michael. Can these documents in this process be completed online over several days a week? Yes, it can. There's no time limit on how long you choose to get through the process. For both SAM and the Women-Owned Small Business Repository, obviously if you are looking to bid on a opportunity that's on the street currently, like it's available in FedBizOff, or you're working with a contracting officer, you want to do that rather sooner than later. But it doesn't all have to be done at the same time. Each of the systems will allow you to kind of take a step-by-step approach through the completion process. J.C. White has a question. What has been your experience with being affiliated with a woman-owned small business? Have you gained contracts? I have not. I work in a very unique segment of the federal sector. I work in the intelligence community, and their preference at this point is to go with larger firms. It's just their preference at this point. However, I have seen a number of woman-owned small business opportunities that I am actively working to team with other women-owned small businesses. So the Department of Homeland Security is very, very actively looking at bringing in women-owned small businesses. I talked to an associate this morning, the Defense Information Systems Association. DISA is focusing on women-owned small businesses and HUBZone businesses. So there are lots of opportunities out there. WIP actually has an opportunity listing that they send out on a regular basis. If you've not signed up for that, you might want to contact Michael or contact WIP and get added to that list so you can see the women-owned small business and economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses that are available for bid. Steve has a question about whether or not you still have to complete the questionnaires. Yes, you do. There is a questionnaire if you're going to apply as a woman-owned small business or as an economically disadvantaged woman-owned small business. You must complete one or the other, but you do need to complete them and upload them into the repository.
Thank you, Angela.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that answers all the questions that we've had come in. Just to add to what Angela said, the WSB Opportunity Watch goes out weekly it's an opt-in email for WIC members. And if you are interested in that, you can contact me at my email, mfravel@wip.org. It also contains a section that we use for other WIC members to look for second bidders on contracts or teaming members from the next contract if they are looking to get them set aside. So that's a good email to get in on. So we just have a few minutes left, and I'm going to go ahead and conclude this call. So I'd like to say thank you for joining us today, Angela. The presentation was great, as usual, and we look forward to seeing you in February for your presentation on the SAM, System for Award Management, as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
And before concluding this call, I do have a couple of just important policy announcements that I want to let everybody know about. First of all, right now the Department of Transportation has requested input on proposed changes to the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program. WIP will be preparing comments for this and we're asking for your input. We're particularly interested in your views on two specific proposals, a part of it. The first is that the Department of Transportation seeks comment on whether the spouse of an applicant owner should have to file personal net worth statement, even if the spouse is not involved in the business in question. So that actually falls in line with some of the questions about the WSB program today. And in addition, they seek comment on whether the Department of Transportation should adopt a provision similar to SBA language, which considers a spouse's financial situation in determining an individual's access to credit and capital, where the spouse has a role in the business or has lent money to the business. So if you do receive announcements from Give Me Five or your on WITS procurement committee, you will be receiving an email this afternoon with more details on these changes and how to submit your comments. You can also see them up here on the screen right now. We have one last announcement I also want to share with you. I want somebody else to share this, so hold on one moment so I can get to the next slide. But just to give you a brief rundown of that, WIP is also urging the Senate to support expansion of the WSB program, including lifting the dollar caps on contracts and granting sole source authority to the WSB program. So let me get to that slide just really quick so you can see that. There is an action alert on the WIP homepage that's there that you can access if you would like to submit a letter in support of this. You just go on and you click on the action alert on the WIP homepage, and it'll automatically help you determine your senators and allow you to send them a pre-written letter of support in just a few clicks. So that's an important thing you can also do for us and for the success of the WSB program. In conclusion of today's webinar, thank you for everybody else on the call today. And as mentioned, links to the podcast and presentation of this training will be sent to all attendees of today's call, along with a brief feedback survey. This survey helps us make sure that we're bringing you the most relevant information possible. And as we're planning for quarter one of 2013, if there's any particular courses you'd like to see, you can give that feedback as well. The next course that we have for Give Me Five will be on December 12th, and you'll see information on it here on the screen. Please look to Give Me Five for any other, the website, giveme5.com, for any other courses that are upcoming. We appreciate your attendance, and if you do have any questions that were not answered today, please feel free to contact me or Angela, who has provided her contact information in the presentation. WIP and American Express Open are dedicated to opening federal procurement opportunities for women business owners. Thank you, everybody, and goodbye.
Thank you.